There's a boat in the dock, and early at 5 o'clock is a man with his pipe and plaid beret. He hears fish in the sea calling out to him with glee, sailor, won't you come and catch me?
I'm Jennifer Burns-Bright, and welcome to A Fine Kettle of Fish, the Lower Columbia's local seafood show on 5th Mondays at 9:30 a.m. Today we'll be talking about the unassuming but delicious little flatfish called petrolli sole. Not petrol, but petrolli. You can remember the pronunciation because the petrolli is a fish that dilly-dallies in back alleys, scooting along the bottom of the Pacific and hiding in the mud and the sand down there. We're joined today by special guest Rob Seitz. He's a fisherman and owner of the new fish market and restaurant South Bay Wild Fish House in Astoria. He's also a fisher poet. Hi, Rob, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for having me.
It's such a pleasure. And I'm also joined by my engineer, Marianne Myers, who you may know from Food Talk, the other food radio show, which everyone listens to here on KMUN. Okay, Rob, so I've got some questions for you. Of the many wild species of white-fleshed fish that we see in the markets and the restaurants around here on the coast, rockfish and halibut, they probably top the list. But more and more, I'm seeing petrolli sole on menus. You're a fisherman, and you catch and sell the petrolli at your market and restaurant. I want to hear more about the fishery in a moment. But first, could you tell us a little bit more about the fish? Why would a home cook like me choose petrolli at the market instead of, say, rockfish?
Well, I would say you would use petrolli for the more delicate dishes. It's not as hearty or, the flakes on a rockfish are thicker. And it just seems heartier, you know. And since the petrolli is a flatfish, it tends to be thinner. And the flakes are thinner as well, you know. So to me, it seems delicate. So I like it in pasta dishes, you know, with a white wine reduction sauce or something like that.
Nice. I want to talk more about recipes in a second. Okay. But I'm also curious, I think the Dover sole is a little bit more famous than the petrolli. I was just reading, I read a lot of fish cookbooks, as you might imagine, as a seafood person. The River Cottage Fish Book by Hugh Fernley Whittingstall, he's an English writer and a very, seated table type of a writer. And he mentions that the Dover sole was so popular about 100 years ago that French chefs had hundreds and hundreds of recipes for them. But I understand the European Dover sole is different from our Dover sole and also different from the petrolli sole. Could you talk a little bit about the difference?
Sure thing. I think it is certainly different from the Dover sole in the UK. Something that's kind of interesting that I should maybe not mention, Dover sole used to be called slime sole.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, the Dover on the West Coast, and 100 years ago, it was considered unfit for human consumption, and they actually used it for hog food.
Wow.
And when they decided to start marketing it to humans is when they changed the name to Dover sole, because I think it sounded European, you know. But Dover sole is fit for human consumption. It's a very good fish, depending on where you get it. The Dover sole up here, up in the Pacific Northwest, is superior to Dover sole in California, and that's because it lives in shallower. And the deeper a fish lives when you bring it up from the bottom, the nitrogen molecules expand in the fillets, and it causes a mushy fillet. So
the pressure changes actually changes the texture of the fish?
That's my understanding.
Uh-huh.
I know it can be a problem with black cod also. You can get that mushy the deeper you catch the fish. So it seems like the shallower you catch it, the firmer the fillets will stay.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. You definitely see Dover sole and petrolli sole That would lead me to believe that Petrolli sole is probably caught at a shallower depth if it's more firm and has that good texture.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I think it starts out as a firmer fish, but it also lives in shallower. Dover sole up here is a very good fish, you know, very close to Petrolli, but something about the smell and taste of Petrolli, it's a little bit more superior, a little firmer, yeah.
I think we need to talk more about recipes then.
Okay.
So my favorite way to make Petrolli sole is that classic French style. I mean, I've tried a bunch of things, and I really love just the sole meunière. It's pan-fried, clarified butter, lemon, a little bit of white pepper, parsley. Sometimes they add some capers, but I don't do that. It's just so delicious and simple, but there's so many options. So you mentioned a pasta a moment ago. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, it's one of the few dishes I know how to make. And it's, I mean, it looks, you know, like you know what you're doing when you make it. But Petrolli is good hot and fast in a cast iron pan, you know, with olive oil and garlic. And if you're making this pasta dish, sometimes I throw in some peppers or something and just hot and fast on both sides. The thinner it is, the less time it needs, you know. A nice thin fillet works good. And then I, after cooking the fish, I put in some mushrooms and a little white wine and sometimes some cream, you know, and do a reduction sauce and then serve it over pasta.
Wonderful. What kind of pasta do you choose?
Whatever's in the cupboard.
Okay, that works.
Yeah.
Do you pan fry it with do you coat it with a little bit of flour, or do you just go ahead and do it just plain?
I just do it plain. I mean, with flour, you know, for me, really for recipes, it would be better to have my wife here because for me, eating is more of a just putting fuel back in the tank thing, you know.
Got it.
She says she can never ask my opinion because I like everything.
You know, you're the perfect husband. That's all I'm going to say. So yes, and Tiffany manages the restaurant, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a sense of some of her favorites?
Well, you know, she worked at the Sanctuary restaurant for a long time with Joanne Leach, and they did a really good Dover sole roll up, or also she uses Petrolli, you know, and she makes a like either crab or shrimp, and she can do sometimes it's a lemon cream sauce, or sometimes it's with blue cheese and capers and stuff, you know, and she'll make up a sauce with that shrimp and crab.
That sounds wonderful. Oh. So it's got a cream sauce, and you said that the fillets were rolled up?
Yeah, she puts the sauce in the middle, rolls it up, you know, and then bakes it in the oven.
And it's nice because those because the fish is a flat fish, those fillets are very thin. And I noticed that with rockfish, I've tried to do roll-ups with rockfish, but those fillets tend to be a little bit too thick to do a nice roll-up. So Petrolli makes a really beautiful roll-up.
With the thinner flakes.
Okay, what else?
Our banh mi sandwich is a good representation of the Petrolli sole.
And what's on the banh mi?
It has, it's fairly spicy, you know, it has some pickled vegetables and sriracha mayo and then some nice pieces of grilled Petrolli.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. That's a Vietnamese sandwich, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It has a little lemongrass on it and some fish sauce. I'm not exactly sure.
I think that sounds about right from having enjoyed it. I really love it. It's got the pickled carrots and daikon radish.
Yeah.
And then big pieces of jalapeno too, which really kind of pep the whole thing up.
Yeah.
A wonderful sandwich.
And it works good as a salad if you're, you know, gluten-free type. If you don't want the bread, you know, just the vegetables and fish make a good salad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds really nice. Yeah, I think the thinness of the fillet is the thing that really seems to be most important. If I were to choose at a market and I was thinking about a fish dish that needed some kind of either twisting the fillet or rolling the fillet, that would be what I would choose.
Yeah.
And does the Dover sole, is that as thin of a fillet as the Petrolli?
It works good for the roll-ups also.
Okay.
And, you know, leaving the skin on is a good option also. The Petrelli skin, if you scale it, it gets nice and crispy. And it also, since it's a low-fat fish, it helps keeping that fat layer intact because that adds, you know, a little bit of moisture.
Right. Low-fat, super high protein, I understand, too.
Yeah.
Just like all those white fillet fish. Great. I was going to ask you one more question about the fillets themselves. Oh, I know. No, it was actually about the other parts of the fish. Hmm. So, of course, any good seafood, I should say conscientious seafood home cook will want to use as much of the fish as possible. Have you ever made a stock out of the fish bones? And is that something that the consumer can buy, the frames and heads and things for that, these fish?
At this moment, we do not have the frames, but that's a good question because they are very useful. Usually when we make fish stock, we use the lean cod carcasses because they have big heads on them, you know, and the...
giant heads with teeth.
Yeah.
I've been bitten by one when it was dead.
But that I can't remember the name. The cartilage, you know, that's what makes the good stock. But I imagine the Petrelli would. We used to sell to several restaurants that use Petrelli and made whole fish dishes with them. And the little Petrelli cheeks are pretty tasty also.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
Okay, well... I'll be looking for those. Maybe they'll show up someday in the market. All right. So you are listening to A Fine Kettle of Fish on Coast Community Radio. We're talking about the Petrelli sole with fisherman and restaurant owner and fisher poet Rob Seitz. So let's talk a little bit about the fishery and efforts to manage this species. The Fish Choice website, which provides consumers with information about sustainability and habitat, tells me that they are usually around 1 or 2 feet long at maturity, which happens around age 3, and they can live up to 17 years. So that's a relatively short time, I think, in the life of fish in general. Yes, no?
Okay. I think probably middle of the road.
Okay. And it also told me that they spawn in deep water and then head to shallower grounds to feed in the summer. So I'm just curious about how you fish for them. So when you go out, how you go out, and how you get these Petrelli sole.
It's a trawl fishery, or you use a dragnet, which in the past has had a bad reputation because some of the characteristics of a trawl net, you know. But now the fishery is considered sustainable.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about that trawl net? And so what its bad reputation is and how it's different for this fishery?
Well, it's a funnel-shaped net that you drag across the bottom of the ocean. And so the dragging it across the bottom of the ocean had habitat concerns, you know. Mm. But we've done studies now that show as long as you're in sandy, muddy bottom, it has zero impact on habitat. It actually helps stir up nutrients, which brings life into the area. So the way we dealt with it was we created these huge set-aside areas where we're not allowed to fish anymore to protect sensitive habitat like coral reefs and that sort of thing, spawning grounds for different species of fish. So over half the grounds we used to fish are now closed off to trawl fishing.
And are these official marine reserves or just areas that are closed off?
Well, there's several different kinds. Some are called EFHs, which stands for essential fish habitats, and those ones will never change. They'll always be, preserves for fish. And then we have a strip of ocean that goes from Canada to Mexico, and it goes from 100 fathoms to 150 fathoms right now. And that's called the RCA, which stands for the Rock Cod Conservation Area.
Great.
And that is a temporary one because most of the species that were considered overfished were rockfish. Mm-hmm. And so we, set aside this area that they typically inhabit, and closed it off to ourselves to protect them until they rebuild, which out of 14 species, we're down to 2 that are remain on the overfished list. So we're doing pretty good.
And this is in the rockfish population.
That's correct. Yeah.
So do Petrolli sole swim among the rockfish, or were they impacted by the sustainability efforts, the conservation efforts for rockfish?
They have been. The Petrolli is kind of interesting because, I guess it was about 7 or 8 years ago, the Petrolli stocks were doing really good. You know, there had been on an upswing for 30 years, but then some logbook information from the late 1800s became available. And when they punched that into the computer model, it showed that we'd been overfishing them since the 60s, so we started protecting something that, up until that time, we thought it didn't need protection. And as a result of that, the Petrolli stocks are now thicker than I've ever seen them. And I've been fishing here since 92.
Interesting how that it's so complicated, everything with fisheries.
Yeah.
And that's a great example, of that. So when you go out, tell us just a little bit about, say, an average day fishing for Petrolli. How far out do you go? What's the depth? Those types of things.
Well, nowadays, I try to avoid Petrolli.
Okay.
Because of the management, but the Petrolli are so thick now, it's hard for me to catch my Dover without catching my Petrolli first. Because, when I leave to go fishing, I have plant limits. The fish plant tells me how many fish that I could go catch, because it's based on what they have the ability to process and sell themselves, So
the processing plant is going to give you guidelines or give you limits on this is what we need today, these species and this many pounds. Is that what I understand? Okay.
Yeah.
And so you're mainly going out for Dover then, and then you also get Petrolli at the same time?
This is where it gets complicated.
Okay.
Because of the way the fishery is managed, it's a quota system now. So basically I have, one of the problems with the trawl fishery is that you drag a net across the bottom and you catch everything that's there, And it used to be that we had these hard caps. Every month you were allowed to catch X amount of each species. And so you would go out and once you've caught all you're allowed to catch of one species, we used to have to throw it over and while we're trying to catch the other stuff.
Get rid of it and not keep it.
Right. Yeah. We're not allowed to bring it in. So, and that was, we don't like wasting fish and other people didn't like us wasting fish either, So
sure.
In order to not waste fish, we switched to this quota system where we keep everything that we catch and we just have to trade quota or lease quota or whatever to cover our fish, So, and then you're not allowed to go fishing again if you have a deficit. So you have an account where you keep all your quota, and you can leave to go fishing if you have a zero, and then when you deliver, you'll have a deficit and then you have to look around, ask all your buddies, do you have any of this quota I need to cover my deficit,
This is very complicated, and I'm really glad that you're sharing some of this because I think that the average consumer doesn't really understand. It's not like farming where you can just go out and, slaughter all your beef or,
right.
Harvest all your vegetables, but it's a constant almost negotiation of numbers, right?
And you have to have an understanding of where those fish live and how they behave, because sometimes, rockfish, you can catch them on the bottom in the daytime or catch them in the midwater at nighttime. So
when are Petrolli, what month, what time of the year are they best, do you think?
Well, for catching volume of Petrolli, like I said, they're hard to stay away from now. They're a hardier fish and I think must be more aggressive than Dover because they seem to be taking over the Dover grounds now. So you're trying to avoid them in the wintertime because it's really easy to overcatch with the Petrolli.
Mm-hmm.
I even cut big holes in my net so I can only catch up to a certain amount, and then anything else will go out the hole. In the wintertime is when they spawn, so they're really hard to stay away from in the wintertime because they're all grouped up spawning.
Oh, I see. Yeah. If they're reproducing, of course, there need to be quite a few of them in the area.
Well, and they're all, you know, in concentrated in certain areas that they always return to. There's certain, it must be, they seem to like this black sand, you know, volcanic, it's like a real abrasive soil.
Probably and basalt?
I'm not sure. We just call it black sand, you know, because whenever you're catching petrolia, you see the black sand, you know. So something about it they like, you know, they like spawning there. And it's always the same spot, you know. So if you want to catch a petrolia in the wintertime, it's pretty easy because they always, I think they're like humans, you know, when they're thinking about spawning, they have a hard time thinking about anything else.
Yeah, I've heard that before. So how far out and how many days out do you go when you do a fishing trip for soles?
Well, like I said, it's like 45 minutes to catch my petrolie limit in the wintertime. So,
oh, it's easy, yeah.
Yeah. It depends. You know, if I have a long stretch of good weather, then I usually go, you know, start working on my Dover and I'll nickel and dime my petrolie up, you know, and then if I need a little bit more, I'll go into the shallow up into the petrolie depth to get the rest of what I need. But if I got like, you know, 24 hours of good weather, I want to go out and get my money fish on first, you know, and that way if it starts blowing, at least I got a trip on the boat, you know.
Yeah, and the Dover are considered money fish or rock fish?
Well, petrolie are money fish because...
Oh, the petrolie are money fish. Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
But, well, it's a high lease rate, so we get paid a high amount, but you also, it's costly to lease the quota, you know. The Dover, it's a low lease rate, but it takes you a lot of time to catch them, you know, so...
I see. Yeah. Yet again, you're kind of playing with the numbers and the time and all
that.
It amazes me what you guys do because it's just so complicated and so fascinating how you always have to stay on your toes just to get your product. And I understand that I'm taking you away from shrimp fishing right now, right? Shrimp trawling?
Yeah, we're getting ready to leave on our third trip.
Okay. I really would love to have you back and talk about those beautiful little pink Pacific shrimp. But not today. But today, if you wouldn't mind, I know you're a fisher poet, and I've heard some of your poetry, and it's hilarious, it's awesome, and I understand that you have a little poem about petrolie.
I do.
Would you happen to be able to recite that for us?
Sure thing. I'd be more than happy.
Excellent. He's adjusting his microphone to make sure that it's like he's all square to be ready to do it. Okay, so whenever you're ready, I would love to hear it.
Okay, so I titled it Petrolie Soul, and it's spelled S-O-U-L, you know. So here's how it goes. Petrolie Soul. The exquisite Petrolie Soul is like the yin-yang sign of the sea. They have their dark, mysterious side, the other white as purity. They remind me that death creates life, and ugliness defines beauty. But when you cook them in olive oil and garlic, both sides taste the same to me.
I love it. I knew it was going to be good. So, yes, bringing in the experience of the fish, and then also the experience of eating the fish, which is what I love, and all that. So. I don't suppose you have a poem about shrimp that you can bring next time for the show, because I want to
work on
that.
It. I don't have one.
Good. I think that's really important. Let's see. What else can we end with here? So I wanted to ask you maybe just one more thing. Is there anything that you want just a regular seafood consumer to know about just fishing in general and how we might be better consumers at the market? And we just have a couple of minutes, but I really wanted to get that general question in.
Well, as far as what I'd like consumers to know.
Yeah.
That, you know, fishermen care about sustainability. I mean, people who love fishing like I do, understand that we wouldn't be able to do it without the resource. And 99.9% of the fishermen that I know are very concerned about sustainability, and they're willing to make sacrifices to fish sustainably.
Yeah, and it sounds like with the constant juggling of the numbers that you're doing and going out in all kinds of weather, and really thinking about that, I know that I really value the work that you do, and we should as well, by maybe even paying a little bit, being willing to pay a little bit higher prices for that good wild-caught fish. And just, I mean, I think it's clear to us, but just to make sure that it's clear to everyone listening, this is a wild fish fishery, the soles, the Petrolli sole. So this is not something that you can buy farmed. I mean, it really is something that has to be caught by one of our fishermen and go out and you know, really spend the money on the gear and the boat and the quotas and all that. So fishing wild is what you do.
And, you know, I think it's really, compared to a lot of things, it's not really that expensive, you know. And rockfish and petrolli are becoming pretty affordable. As the fisheries rebuild, you know, there's more and more of it available. And I know with the rockfish, they're really pushing that, you know, trying to gain market share back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now that the fisheries are rebuilding, you know, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of high-quality seafood available out there now.
Yeah, so kind of beyond salmon, which we know has all kinds of issues, and even though it's beloved, of course, by everybody here in the Pacific Northwest, rockfish and the soles could be a good alternative. Again,
yeah.
High protein, delicious fish, easy to cook, and you can do all kinds of fun things with it.
Yeah, versatile.
Yeah. Do you ever make tacos out of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, something... Trying to get our kids, you know, turning them into fish eaters. We've made lots of tacos over the years, and that was our first thing. We started doing them at festivals, you know, and
it was like the gateway drug.
Yeah, to the
tacos, fish
the
tacos.
Restaurant. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's simple, you know, and in a festival environment, it's good to get that smell out there, you know. So lots of olive oil and garlic, you know,
Can't beat that.
That brings the customers in.
Wonderful. Well, that's excellent. Very good to hear. So, I think we've got just a couple of minutes here. So I wanted to thank you very much for coming out and, again, interrupting your workday to talk to us all here on the north coast of Oregon and the southwest Washington coast about these beautiful Petrolli sole.
I was honored to be your first guest.
Thank you so much
for inviting me. And I'd like to say welcome to the area.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate that. It's really good to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you here.
Thanks so much.
You're a good addition.
And we also have to say thanks, Marianne.
Thank you, Marianne.
There's a boat in the dock, and early at 5 o'clock is a man with his pipe and plaid beret. He has fish in the sea,